Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network, dealing with all things Macintosh. And we're here for a chat on iPhone 4S availability day. Although some of you haven't got it yet, some of us haven't got it yet, and some of us aren't going to get it. So there we go. Great panel this week, same as always. Mr. Don McAllister, top left.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
How's iPhone 4S day treating you, Don?
Well, it's a production day today, so I've been publishing the show this morning. I didn't go out. I decided not to go and stand in line, so I pre-ordered it. So, fortunately, it still hasn't arrived, so I'm sort of waiting with bated breath. But in some respects, I'm quite glad, because the lines were 10 times longer than I thought they'd be this morning, but we'll talk about that later, I suppose. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. So it might actually arrive while we're actually on the show, so... Fingers crossed. So
Steve is looking down on us and has any pull with God whatsoever. It will arrive during the show and we'll have a full working demo.
We'll do the full unboxing thing. That'll do.
Oh, a live unboxing. That would be cool.
We'll see.
Click your tracking thing. See if it's got any better.
No, it's just said between 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So it's
what? Crap, UPS.
It's quarter past three now, so there's still a fair window of opportunity, so we'll see.
Good. Next to him, freshly back from Steve Jobs Memorial Day celebrations in Manila, from Phil Mug. I didn't even know there was a mug out there.
There is a mug out there. Yeah, it's a great little community, actually, here, an online community. Philmug.ph is the website. It's a great Mac community. It's been around for years here, longer than I've actually even been in Manila, and it was a really great event. Got some good pictures, got some video. I'm going to try and stick it your way. Maybe we can put something up on the YouTube channel or something. It was really, really great event.
It looked like a big venue. It was like a marquee or something, wasn't it, in the picture that you sent out?
Yeah, actually, it was like this. It's a place here called Rockwell, and it's like a big tent, really. It was just an outdoor-type tent, but it was air-conditioned, thank God, because of the heat. Mm. And, a nice big stage, and they had prizes and giveaways. I even seen some iPhone 4Ss there. Not kidding.
So, what's happened there? Have they come out from via Apple, or...?
I think what happened is those came via Singapore, is what I know. Singapore is supposed to get it on the 23rd over towards this direction. I think we're supposed to get it around that same time. So, and from what I'm hearing, from what the rumors I was hearing at the event, we're supposed to get it here. They're going to be selling it in the shops here unlocked. So that would be news here, because we're kind of stuck with one carrier right now. So
they're probably faking. They probably come from China anyway, so...
Hey, don't the real ones come from China too?
Yeah, but they're not fake. below him, we've got Mr. Mike Hurley at Short Notice. But again, serendipity, mate. You are holding a white one. Why did you buy a white one, dude?
I bought a white one because I've always had a black phone, and there isn't a lot of difference. And I wanted to feel like it was new, so I thought I'll get something that looks a bit different.
Because it's the same case, and now your cases don't fit, do they?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I got a bumper today out of the money I saved, because O2 bought my old iPhone off of me, which paid for this one and a bumper.
It paid for that one and a bumper? Surely not. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. They gave me £266. So it paid for me to get it on contract.
2 years.
To get a case too. No, 1 year. 12 months.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that is
12 months for existing customers.
Oh, I like that. That's God. Real good.
US carriers.
£188, the phone, on a 12-month contract at £40 a month.
And the really pissed off bloke you can hear in the background is a very disgruntled, very hacked off, soon to explode when we give him the opportunity, Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. How's it going, mate? Not good. Oh, you've had a woeful week then, I take it.
It's been stressful. It's been stressful trying to, transition my Mobi account to iCloud and update all my devices while I have this 5 and update Mac OS 10 and get everything working. And it's just been one headache after another.
I've got to say, it's not been simple. Mine's been sitting whirring around for hours, and it's still not done. Every time I open System Preferences on the Mac that's got all the media on it, it just sits and spirals. I can't sign in. I can't do anything. Yeah. My email's telling me I've got the wrong email address and password, which I haven't. So I don't know the rule that right, but there we go.
Well, and there's this whole issue with the Apple IDs, and people, you know, end up having a couple different ones because of different changing the requirements, doing different things, and so they've been using a couple different Apple IDs, and the whole mobile thing becomes your Apple ID, and now you can't use your iTunes one, but you can use it for iTunes, but not for everything else, and now I can't get any of my devices set up with iMessage or FaceTime, so I basically can't use those features at all. It's really pissing me off. And then I get to listen to you Brits talk about how cheap your mobile service is and how they don't screw you over.
Lemon juice in the paper cut.
Oh, jeez.
Seamless for me. It's been absolutely seamless.
Now, all those people that write to me and call me I should use on Windows and I'm not a fanboy, you just listen to Forsman there, all right? You see, I'm pretty moderate, mate. I'm not that militant. The week in Apple, of course, we've got new standards come to the UK, which is fantastic. iOS 5 was available for the downloads, and everyone downloaded it, and it all froze, and it all got horrible and nasty. iCloud took over in more ways than one, and the iPhone 4S came out today, and also British broadcaster ITV is swapping everything from Windows to Mac. They made the huge leap over. Everything's going to go. And the last thing is that the lunatics have overtaken the asylum, and Tim Cook, it would seem, has become Mr. Moderate. Complete change of leadership, and everyone's going to have the week off for Thanksgiving. Isn't that nice? Good on him. Where should we start? Should we do the Tim Cook thing? Because I thought that's quite interesting. He's issued an email out that says everyone's going to have the week off at Thanksgiving. And if you're a store customer and you obviously need to be there over Thanksgiving, then fear not, because we'll give you the time back elsewhere. But everyone's going to get an entire week off, which they've never done before.
I thought it was just an extra 3 days, isn't it?
Yeah, but it gives them the whole week, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I just thought it was 3 days. But I believe they've done it before, though, over Christmas. And they have taken extended time off before.
Well, I was sitting thinking it was kind of like him putting his stamp of authority, saying, I'm a different man. I'm not Steve Jobs. I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be lenient, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm always talking wrong, aren't I? So
I reckon they've had a pretty tough couple of weeks. They lost Steve, and they've had to go through all these massive product launches and transitions. So, you know, just as a thank you, because it has gone pretty well. I think better than some expected. They've got, everything's got out. I mean, I know that a lot of people had issues on Wednesday with iOS 5, but all in all, I mean, it's gone okay. So just give them a few days off, keep morale high.
Has everyone gone to iOS 5 yet?
Yeah, I have. I have.
Any major issues or just?
I think most of the issues that people have had were when they tried to do the upgrade, like, you know, within the first 6 or 12 hours of them actually releasing everything at once. So, you know, things went into total meltdown. I mean, I felt a bit guilty because I'd actually done it a couple of hours before, because I've got access to developer stuff. So I just went with the GMC to get everything set up, and it was fine. And then, you know, like the day after, when I've started to do all the family's bits and pieces, I mean, it's just gone really smoothly. I mean, literally from when we started the call to now, I've just upgraded my wife's machine to 10.7.2 and migrated it across from MobileMe to iCloud, and it's done. It was literally, you know, it's taken what, 10 or 15 minutes to do. It's been great. So that initial period really did cause a lot of grief, but you know, that's what happens if you want to be an early adopter.
Chris has got a grimace on his face. He really hates you.
Sorry.
No.
It's just one Apple ID though. That's the easy
thing. Dude, let's get this out of the way. Come on, tell us what's happened this week, mate. Let's see.
So I hear what he's saying about the whole, I mean, just, yeah, Apple servers just weren't ready for everyone to upgrade at once. And, you know, I don't know. It seems like there should be something they can do to, you know, like stagger it out by country or something. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. But, yeah, it was a nightmare getting the downloads to work. Once I got the downloads, it didn't take that long. I got them fairly early, but then I ran into trouble where the authorization server wasn't working, or it was just getting hammered. And so I kept trying to update, you know, apply the update. It had already downloaded, and every time it does that, it does a full backup. So I had to wait for that every time, and then it would try to contact Apple servers and be like, "Sorry, error," and it was just like really frustrating. and it kept saying there was an unknown error. It didn't say why it was doing that. I mean, if it just said, sorry, our server is too busy, you know, try again later, that would have been different. But it was just like, unknown error. And then both my iPad and my iPhone got stuck in recovery mode at one point because the devices had switched over to have the firmware installed, but it still couldn't contact Apple's validation servers. So I was just sitting there with two brick devices and, you know, loads of unknown errors. So it was just frustrating not knowing. I mean, there wasn't actually anything wrong. It was just Apple servers were being hammered and they couldn't handle it. So it would have been nice, I think, if they could have made some kind of statement or something just like, hey, everybody, here's the issue. And, you know, of course, I was in touch with Apple PR and trying to get a statement and they weren't issuing one. So
Apple admitting that they were wrong sorry.
Once the software was installed, everything was totally fine with the software. And then I was like, okay, well, now the software is installed. And it's like, I think it was like 1 a.m. and I'm like, surely I can transition my MobileMe account to iCloud now. You know, it's 1 a.m. here. Hopefully it won't be a big issue. And it transitioned just fine. But then there's just this whole Apple ID problem where, you know, if you it's just dumb. It's just dumb. Apple's just got to, they've got to figure this out. They've got to figure this out because the whole thing is it's supposed to be like, oh, you just use this Apple ID and all your devices are synced and it's so easy and perfect. But the reality of it is, you know, I mean, people have been sharing Apple IDs in their family. So if they all use the same Apple ID, I mean, they can't all use it for iCloud because then, you know, then mom, dad, sister, and brother are all going to have the, you know, the same contacts and email and information on all their devices. That doesn't make any sense. You know, the whole idea is premised on one person has one Apple ID and one Apple ID equals one person. But, you know, it's like social security numbers. I don't know if you have something similar in Britain, but, you know, here in the States, we have social security numbers and there's one social security number for every person. And one person has just one social security number. So, you know.
But to be fair to Apple, though, they're not trying to run a government.
True. But I mean, they're trying to be in charge of everyone's data. They're trying to be like, trust us with your data and we'll keep it all in check. But it's not. I can't get iMessages to my iPad because it won't let me use my MobileMe account to sign in. It just won't do it.
I mean, were talking about merging multiple IDs, weren't they? So if you had a couple of mobile me accounts, you could merge them over and then you could go for a single iCloud interface for several addresses. But that appears to have gone by the wayside as well as. So all the promises are...
They didn't make any public statements to that effect, but I believe that some customers had been told that they're working on it. And, you know, we did a post on it. On Ars Technica, so we had heard from, and I don't remember the source off the top of my head, but that, you know, like Apple was like really working on getting this done. But of course, they didn't say anything publicly because then they would actually be held to it. But it's just really a mess. I mean, I've gotten hundreds of tweets and emails from people who, you know, it worked. Some of them it worked just fine. Some of them it worked on one device, but not the other. Some of them it just didn't work at all. You know, like others had said, you know, that having the password problems with email, it just keeps rejecting your password, even though you know.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Is everyone else worked just fine though? I mean, Kyle, have you got yours over, and Don and Mike?
Yeah, I got mine over fairly. I mean, I stayed up to like 1:30 in the morning. The downloads had timed out. I just said, you know, forget it. You know, I love Apple, but I don't love them that much. I need some sleep. Got up the next morning, and the downloads were slow for sure, even the next morning. But I don't think that was Apple's fault. That's my crappy connection here. And got it downloaded. It took about an hour to do everything on the iPhone. And my problem was it didn't completely switch everything over. My ID came up and it didn't want to accept my ID and it didn't want to go back to let me have the apps that I'd purchased in the store. And essentially how I fixed that was I went in and I just changed my Apple ID. I just went into my iTunes account, went in, changed my ID. I said, I'm not partial to this. I don't really care about it. So I changed it. And then everything worked just fine after that. There were some issues with me.com mail, you know, the iCloud mail. That seems to be resolved for me now. And I would say since yesterday evening, I haven't experienced any more problems.
Now, I've had to transition over a .Mac account. Mm-hmm. Not, he wasn't even .me. So has anyone had any issues with taking the .mac over as opposed to .me?
No, I've I'm still using mine. I still use an @mac email address at mac.com. Mm-hmm. And when I plugged my ID in on the iCloud transition page, it just said, we will move your .mac and .me email addresses over.
So
I'm still using the @mac.
And you're using .mac to sign into iTunes?
Yeah, mine is still @mac.com. Okay. Yeah.
Good. I like that then. That should work.
I have mine was slightly different. In that I've got a family mobile, originally a family.mac account and converted to Mobile Me. So there's myself and, you know, three other members of the family and a demo account that I use for Screencast Online. So I was wondering how that was actually going to work. But what they've done really is they treat every individual, because each person has their own .mac or @me address. So they just treat each person within the family plan as a separate person. So I just upgraded as a primary member. I think I ended up with 25 gig of storage because I was the primary member in the family plan. And I've just been going through and updated my daughters and my wife's, and they basically just create a brand new account for them using the same credentials, and then just give them 5 gig of space because they were sort of like part of the family plan. And we do have a single Apple ID that sometimes might theoretically get passed around to do different things within iTunes. But you can actually do them completely separate. So your iCloud Apple ID doesn't necessarily have to be the same. In fact, it's probably a good idea if it's not the same as your Apple ID. And I always had those separate anyway, so that's not been an issue for me.
Now, we've never had a suicide on the show before, but Chris says he has a different story to tell on that one.
Well, it's an interesting story, and we're still...
we've only got an hour, but carry on.
Okay. Well, I'm working with some support people at Apple to try to hammer this out and figure out what it is. But I signed up for Mobile Me basically the day it launched. I got an iPhone 3G. Got Mobile Me that same day. Signed it all up. But this was also the time when they were trying to transition people who had .Mac to Mobile Me. So apparently, when my account was created, I have a Mac.com email address that matches my me.com email address. I've never used it. I never knew I had it. I had no reason to use it, obviously. But somehow it's like connected to my Mobile Me account. Like it can't be, it's there. So I set up iCloud on my iPhone and iPad, and it says that my Apple ID is at Mac.com.
Yeah, there's interesting comments in the chat room here. People are saying that they've got two Apple IDs and they've kept them separate. Rat's saying I've got a Mobile Me account, but I had an iCloud one separate. I wanted to keep them separate, but it wouldn't let me upgrade to iCloud until I'd signed out of Mobile Me on the Mac. And then Mark's saying I had a .me and an Apple address email and used .me for it. And someone else said about they had a .mac and a .me and their iMac shows the .Mac account, but all of their devices or iOS devices shows it on .me, which I had before.
I have just the opposite one, yeah. My computer shows .me and all my devices show .Mac, and Apple can't explain it.
Well, no, he's saying the opposite. He's saying his Mac shows .Mac and his iOS devices show .me, so.
Right.
It's screwed.
Exactly what I've been trying to say.
That sums it up, yeah.
The thing is, the moral of all of this story is, for those of you who have it and it's working, Apple has no idea why. It just is.
It just works.
I thought they'd come back with a sign that would say, you know, I'm sorry, we can't help you at the moment on tech support because we're too busy selling iPhones to BlackBerry users.
I just always thought that you could use both an @me and an @mac interchangeably, and that wouldn't be any.
Yeah, it never made any difference. I've signed into Apple Store with both, and it didn't care.
Yeah. Right. So I would have thought that, you know, doing the migration, because I think originally I did use my @mac account and for my original one, and that worked fine. And all the others I've used, I think, a combination of @me and @mac, and again, they've been fine.
Totally good.
It's strange.
Well, basically, what I've learned from the whole the .me, the .mac, the whole thing for the last 48 hours is that Google Mail is pretty good.
There's a comment here that Dunn's retweeted. I wish I could add my UPS driver to find my friends.
It would be useful. Yeah.
Perfect. Right. Well, go on. Sorry,
you
Chris.
You guys get a window in the States. It's just like, it's out for the truck.
Well, no, that's what it's. No, we got a window which is 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. or something like that, isn't it? It's not. Or 6 p.m. It's not like a 2 hour. It's not like you're shopping.
No.
Tesco do a better job than UPS do, and they haven't been doing it as long.
I mean, it's not too bad if you're working from home like I do. You know, you can wait. But if you're actually doing a proper job and you have to come home and take the day off, it must be a real pain. In fact, I remember it being a pain when I used to have a real job. So, but shouldn't be too bad.
Mike, we've held you back long enough, mate. Here we go. Yeah. Talk us through iPhone 4, because you're the only one that's actually laid a finger on one. So,
one of the main things that I've noticed straight from the start is that you can really feel the A5. Everything feels snappier and sort of much more comfortable, I think, is a way that I described it to somebody earlier, in that it feels like the 4S is able to deal with things a little bit better. The camera does load incredibly fast. And using it from the lock screen, you're pretty much just straight in from when you tap the button. Mm-hmm. But the real thing about the 4S is Siri, and I am incredibly impressed. The one drawback at the moment is that outside of the US, Siri does nothing with location. So you can't ask for directions, you can't ask for, you know, like, what's the closest pizza place? It isn't doing any of that at the moment.
You've got to say, isn't that kind of crap?
Well, yes and no. I mean, Apple did say it was beta, and in the keynote, they did say that not all features would be available. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that we can do is still fantastic. And just because I haven't got the location data, I'm not crying over it, because I can search the web for it. So instead of it just showing it on Google Maps, I could just go search the web for a local pizza place, and it will just take me to Google and do the search instead.
Yeah. Well, what would be the alternative, though, Ewan? I mean, if they decided, oh, no, we can't release this in the UK because we haven't got the location data, we wouldn't have got any of it. So it's one of those things that they've got to roll this out. They've got to ship, and there must be a decision point where they say, well, we can either ship with not having the location data in the UK and hold it back, or we can let it go. And because correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but I think it's the integration with all the other apps on the phone is actually there. It's just the US specific stuff that it's going to take them time to actually.
Right, I'm clarified now. So what you're saying is the US-UK special relationship is bend over.
No, it's everybody else gets Surrey. Or not everybody else. What I wanted to say is the US gets Surrey and everybody else gets sorry.
Siri, not sorry. There we go, that's a title sorted. Saxon in the chat room wants to know, can he order a pizza, but he's worried about the delivery time.
Well, he could text Domino's.
No, that'd be cool, actually, is if Siri actually responds and gives you a US location, you want one that says delivered in 30 minutes or less, don't you?
No, so I did change it. I changed it over to the US Siri, and it said that it can't give me any directions in London. Like, it worked out that I was in London and said, oh, no, we can't help you in London. The UK Siri is a gentleman. I mean, we've been hearing the lady in the videos, but each language and country has its own person. So, like, we have a British-accented gentleman, and I believe the Australians have an Australian-accented lady.
Right.
And this is the nuanced technology that's been spoken about.
But we have no lady.
No, we have a gentleman.
Yeah,
would you like to hear him, Ewan?
Yes, let's hear him. Put him to the mic.
Yeah. What shall I ask him to do for me?
Well, whatever's cool, mate. I mean, where to hide dead bodies was apparently the big tweet
Siri,
this morning.
Send an email to Ewan.
Which Ewan? Ewan Rankin or Ewan Rankin?
Ewan Rankin.
There's two of you, Ewan.
Which one? Ewan Rankin or Ewan Rankin?
Yeah, it's not hot, dude.
The first one.
It's Ian.
Ewan Rankin. Please.
See, we always knew Ewan had like personalities, and this proves it.
You know, Ewan Rankin, the guy.
Try saying the first one.
Clearly, I have two contact data for you, Ewan, and it's not liking that. Let me do something else. Somebody give me a question. Because you can ask. I'll show you what I mean. So, Siri, what is the capital of France?
Let me check on that. Ooh. I found this for you.
So what it does now is it takes me to a Wolfram Alpha page, which you can kind of see on the video. with loads of
data. Dude, I don't give a toss. I just want to know if it says Paris anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great then.
It's got the city population, the metro area population. I've got a nice little map. Map of the city, nearby cities, nearby airports.
This week, you just say, well, the page looked great, but it had Barcelona on it. I mean, it's...
But like, the for example, so doing things like setting up reminders and stuff. It integrates quite nicely with the Where's My Friend app. So, for example, if I had, you know, if Ewan was in my Where's My Friends application, I could ask Siri, where's you? And it will pop up the where's my friend and show me where you are.
Yeah, right. The question is, which one?
Yes. I really need to sort out my contacts.
The question that I've got for all of you, because I've been saving this one up because I got it instantly, is have you clocked the voice? Does the voice ring any bells?
Sounds like the guy off X Factor.
No. It's a guy off a game show.
Oh, right, okay.
But the irony is immense here.
Nobody else is getting it. You're going to have to.
I'm afraid, Mike, you are the weakest link.
You think that sounds like Anne Robbins?
No, it's the dude that says, but who's the weakest link?
Oh, right, yeah, maybe it is.
And based on the demo just now, mate, that is serendipity at work. Play it again, sir.
Would be nice if it was a lady, though. At least you could say, bye-bye.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Siri, but I don't like talking about myself.
Can you get it to say things? Can you say, Siri, please say, you are the weakest link?
Siri, please say, you are the weakest link.
I don't know what you mean by Siri, please say you are the weakest link.
There you go. You see, it's the dude. It's the dude. I'm telling you.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
You're entitled to that opinion.
Oh.
And at the very minute you said that, Chris Forsman's line crapped out.
He was the weakest link.
He was the weakest link. Sorted.
I must say as well, the dictation is incredible. I don't believe that the dictation is being sent anywhere. Like with on Android, when you do voice dictation, so like for example in a text message, there's now the microphone which you press. When you do that with Android, there's a spinner and it says working, so it's going off to a Google server. But with Siri, it just is automatic. So as soon as you press done, it just puts it so straight into the text field. So I think that that's being done on the device, and that might be the reason for why it's not on the other iPhones, because that will take a lot of processing power to get something like that done.
Yeah, now... hang on. Where's Chris? Chris is back. I was thought of something else then, but I've forgotten it now, because Chris has jumped in. Never mind. I'll think of it in a minute.
Can you reset the voice, Mike, to... any other voices, or do you use that the default?
No, but it's a default to different countries. Should we see what the Australian one's like? So I've just set it to the Australian voice. Email Ewan Rankin.
Which one?
To whom shall I send it?
I just want to point out as well, by this point, Mike, I still don't have the first email yet.
Well, I didn't send one.
Oh, okay, right. Apparently, as well, if you put it back to the English voice, the dude that's speaking is a guy called Fergus Dudley. So, if you asked him who is Fergus Dudley,
okay,
it'd be interesting if he said me.
Who is Fergus Dudley?
I can't answer that, but I could search the web for it if you like.
Yes, please.
Well, then it's just going to take me to Google.
You won't say anything, okay.
The funny thing about this, it's making me feel like iPhone 4 might just be good enough.
How much do you pay again, Mike?
It's free for me.
Good job as well, really.
Je ne peux pas vous renseigner sur les itinéraires, la circulation ou les plans. Je ne prends pas en charge cette fonctionnalité.
There you go.
Ooh. It's electronically nasally. Now. That's amazing.
Now, that is that is electronic sex right there. I take it back.
What are you gay? Is that? I don't mean that in a slur on gay people, but that was a bloke, mate. I'm just. Have you told your wife?
Thanks for this podcast.
That's right. Tina, you may want to listen to this. Apparently, it's not Fergus Dudley. Tone, why did you type that then, you git?
Oh, it says he says weirdly on the BBC internal phone system.
British neck fan.
It's a synthesized voice.
Oh, we have to stick this up on YouTube as a Siri demo.
British Mac fan suggesting that the Australian one actually results to an expletive at the end of every sentence. I suppose if he gets wrong, you could come back with "Don't come the raw prawn with me." But there we go.
Another great feature that I like is
Does it work?
Yes.
Okay.
It searches your calendar. So, for example, I asked it, which I've seen somebody else ask. I just said, "When was my last haircut?" And it shows me.
Where was my last haircut?
And it's my last haircut, and it shows me the date, which was the 9th of September.
I got you. So he references the calendar. I was sitting thinking, you wouldn't have had it when it was your last haircut, would it? No.
So it goes back through my calendar and finds it.
I've lost it now.
You are laughing.
I've lost it.
Very impressive. Yeah. And I wish that Dom had his one, so he could back me up on this, because I know that Dom will find it impressive too.
Well, I've been seeing lots of tweets. People are getting some really sophisticated answers out of it as well.
Yeah.
I think one of the big things is the integration with Wolfram Alpha, because, you know, that's such a fantastic computational engine. It's a pity that it can't speak the results, but I think that's because the only output you can get from Wolfram Alpha is images to stop automated scraping of the data and stuff. But I've been seeing some tweets of people being putting some really obscure things in it. It comes back with the correct answer each time. So it does look very impressive.
It is very good at understanding the voice. I've been very impressed with how it has understood what I'm saying to it.
It's amazing how smart it's supposed to be everywhere else, but it comes on this show and it becomes something else.
Well, I mean, this show's renowned for cocking up technology.
That was definitely a user error on my part.
Garbage.
Thanks, mate. Saxon in the chat room says, "My last haircut was 1995. How do you think it's going to do with that?" And Mark says, "Does the Spanish one look it up tomorrow?" Will it understand you when you're drunk? There's a good question.
I'll test that out later and I'll let you know about that. I'll start now.
Apparently the bloke you're looking for is John Briggs as well. So who is John Briggs would be the...
Should I try that one?
That would be me. Go on then, quickly.
Yeah. Who is John Briggs?
I don't see John Briggs in your contacts.
Oh, well, you should be. There we go. I don't suppose we've got a lot of the news, really, so we could carry on playing with that as much as we wanted. Anything else that struck you this week from Apple that's, you know, with the iOS stuff or the phone itself?
The Apple TV update was nice to see.
Yeah, that $20 is getting further away, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, it is now, unfortunately.
Have you got PayPal?
You know, yeah, I do have PayPal. You know, my whole week's kind of sucked, you know. Actually, the last 2 weeks have sucked. My predictions were wrong. I was wrong. Did I mention I was wrong?
Yeah.
Being wrong.
I heard you were wrong.
Yeah. Crap. No, it's nice to get that update, though. I must admit, they remember we bought that.
Don't you get? Haven't they put the NHL on?
Yes.
Are you actually getting that though? Because you've got an American account, but isn't there an IP issue or?
No IP issue whatsoever. As long as you have it's just like when you get TV shows off the thing. You know, like the latest seasons of House or you know what have you. You can download those. There's no IP issue whatsoever. Woohoo! I love it. Thank you. I hated the Apple TV at first, and it's you, Ewan, that convinced me to get one, and I love it. Love it. Did I mention I love it?
Yeah, no, it is fantastic. We've got three around the house, and they are severely used. We've got all the movies on a server, and we just sit and watch, and away we go. Apparently, if you ask the Irish Siri to predict the future, it asks if it should send an email.
There isn't an Irish Siri.
You ask it to predict the future, and it doesn't know what it's supposed to do it. So, obviously not.
Actually, Mike, can I ask one question? Have you tried the video, the 1080p video? does that AirPlay to the Apple TV, or is it just complain?
I haven't got an Apple TV, so
right. Okay. Because one of the things that we were thinking of was whether or not they'd have to bring out a new Apple TV to work with the new iPhone, because that only supports the 720p.
I'm saved.
Why?
That's where the 1080p comes in. There's the television.
Yeah. Chat room's gone mental over the accents. Apparently, Saxon says the German one efficiently organises your contacts, but then it invades your living room. And Mark suggesting the Scottish one doesn't do anything but ask you if you want to fight. Keep those coming. We'll read them out. Most definitely.
Oh, that's great.
Don, still no phone then. We've been sitting waiting. Quarterly earnings. Let's leave that one, eh? iTunes
next week, right?
Yeah, next week, 18th. So we'll have the results of that before we go to air, which is going to be really interesting for everyone. iTunes movie trailers app for iOS. So they've now taken movie trailers, stuck it into an iOS application, which you can now play on your phone. And also, they're talking about streaming movies rather than having to download and replay, aren't they? Big leap forwards or essential if Apple TV's not going to get a bigger hard drive, not going to get apps?
Essential.
The Liverpool one is very friendly.
I know.
But his mate's outside nicking your car.
Mark Dalton. I don't.
What I love about this story is it says the app is now available for free. So they're going to give you a thing that only plays trailers and then charge you for it?
Well, the problem is, though, is it's only in the US, or have they released a version for the UK now?
The story just is an official Apple weblog, so it doesn't actually specify, because it obviously believes that America's the only place in the entire world. So
I'm pretty sure.
Hey, USA, we're number one, okay?
In what?
I'm being dickheads, I don't know.
Boy, Chris, you got a lot of balls. coming on a British podcast saying that.
The one from Derbyshire sounds like a sexy talking sheep.
The one from Texas refuses to discuss reproductive health or evolution. So if you ask it any questions about that, it just says, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's the new cards application. We haven't talked about that.
We haven't got Steve Neighbour on, have we? We could have done with Steve Neighbour on to talk about cards. Are we excited about cards?
Not really.
Have you had a go, Mike? Because we can all have a go with cards, can't we?
Yeah, I've had a look at it. I mean, it looks nice.
Well, I was sort of scratching my head because I put it on the phone and it looks okay, but it's... the iPad would have been fantastic for it, you know, nice big screen. But then someone pointed out possibly the camera on the iPad isn't up to producing the high-res images that it needs to produce the cards, and that's why it's not on the iPad. So that will be in the next keynote, when they're discussing iPad 3, they'll say, and iPad 3 comes with cards because it's got a better camera.
£3.99, says Paul in the chat room as well. And British Mac wants to know if there's a Chav Siri. Is it because you want I send an email in it? Very good, mate.
That would be great.
I've got to say that the idea of cards is fantastic if it did far better in terms of delivery, because it's 4 days or something, isn't it? Minimum.
I thought you were going to say the idea of it was fantastic if it was 1985.
Well, no. Well, okay, maybe two. But it's going to take a week for it to get to you, 4 days. And if you look at Moonpig and that kind of stuff, I mean, it's instant. I could be away on business. I can make a card online and know it's going to be delivered to the member of family I want it to get to it the following day. With this thing, you know, if you can plan 4 days ahead, you could down the frigging shops and buy one.
I think I couldn't believe they spent, you know, 5 minutes of that valuable keynote going on about flipping cards. I mean, it seemed a bit weird.
Where are they going to make their money, though? I mean, if you look at card shops, I mean, you're talking about a production cost for cards of less than 2 pence on the mass production. Retail or wholesale retail to retailers at the end is only sort of 15p, and they're selling them at £1.30 to £2.99, mate. There's big money in cards. I mean, the actual production cost of Apple cards, even if they're unique, is going to be probably about 90% markup.
Mm.
Yeah, forget about apps.
It'd be nice if there was like e-cards with it, or you had the, I don't know. When's the last time anybody actually went down to Hallmark and, you know, picked out a card, took it home, put it in an envelope, put the mailing address on it, stuck the stamps on it, put it in the mailbox?
Last time I was in my anniversary, or I'm a dead man.
You put it in the mailbox and put stamps on
it? Dude, you want me to send my wife a PDF anniversary card and think I'm going to breathe the following day?
I did.
Liar.
Actually,
I sort of have an advantage here because my girlfriend is like an obsessive crafter. So she has a room just stacked full of all kinds of paper and cards and
you say you made her make her own card?
Yeah, I just go in her craft room and make cards now.
Honey, could you make me a birthday card, please? She gets it back the following week.
I make them myself, thank you.
Oh, okay. You're in touch with your feminine side, that's good, pal. Mm.
Well, it's not as good as being in touch with your feminine side.
Oh, come on, only girls make cards. Don't tell me there's male crafters. Come on, no.
Man crafting, my friend.
Oh, there's a title, maybe. Thing? Say again.
Isn't that some sort of shaving thing? Oh, it's manscaping.
That's when men have their eyebrows waxed.
Back, sack, and crack.
Yes, no, it's not just eyebrows. Google it.
Oh, jeez.
Are we saying we've run out of things to talk about?
Let me talk about.
We were just about to talk about balls, so I'm
right.
Say
so go on. Sorry, Mike. Go on.
So I've been going to the same. So I go to an O2 shop, like the network shop, as opposed to an Apple store, because I actually, even though I'm getting up early, I do want to try and get it done in a couple of hours rather than a couple of days. And I've been going to the same O2 store for maybe the last 3 or 4 iPhone launches. And the queue today for the 4S was probably about a quarter of that it was for the iPhone 4.
At the same time?
At the same time.
So now, Don, you're saying your experience is the opposite.
Yeah, well, I know Elaine from MacBite sent a couple of tweets out, and she said at about 7:30, there's about 400 people, and it went up to about 500 people by the time they opened the door. And she thought it was pretty much, I think she said it was twice as busy as when the iPad 2 was launched.
Wow.
So I think it is different when you go to an Apple store rather than to a carrier store. I think the amount of buzz isn't the same, and people will tend to, you know, if and again, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you could actually get an unlocked phone from any of the carriers. So that would have been just people upgrading their plans, or, you know, being in the right time of their particular plan. So, but no, she said definitely the Apple store in Liverpool was buzzing, really. You know, there was twice the number of people there from the iPad 2 launch.
Chris, what's the news from the States been on the number of lines and that kind of stuff? Is it?
It's massive.
Like, really?
I was in line for the iPhone 4 last year. And last year, Apple let you do reservations at the store. So you had the option to pre-order it and have it shipped to you, or you could reserve it at a store, or you could just wait in line on launch day. And the flagship Chicago store here in North Michigan Avenue was lined up around 5 city blocks. And this was at, I want to say, 5:30 a.m. in the morning. They were opening the doors at 7. So one real nice benefit is if you had reserved one, they came around in the line and they had a little, their little iPod touch things, and they just checked you off on a list, and then you just got to go into the front of the line. And that was really nice. Once they opened the doors, I was in and out in maybe half an hour. Like, literally, they scanned some barcodes and put in my phone number, and it was just done. So that was nice. But here, yeah, I was in line at a new store here in Chicago for the iPad 2, and it was, I mean, it was just snaked all around several blocks. And luckily, I got in pretty early and got it taken care of, and it was pretty quick. But, you know, they've done a lot to, like, make this, you know, they know people have been waiting all day. They want to get them in and out, and they don't dick around too much. So it's pretty nice. But, I mean, the lines are massive here in Chicago, and there's, like, 6-7 Apple stores in the area. If you go over to like an AT&T store or a Verizon store or whatever, the line's much shorter, and it's just all people who just want to get their thing and go home. So that's kind of nice too.
Yeah, that's right. What about Box? Did we see Box released? Box.net?
Oh yeah, I did a blog post about that earlier.
That's my That's my
no,
cool
you can
thing.
You can still have it as your cool thing, that's not a problem. But Box.net has released a storage facility for 50 gig of lifetime account, lifetime as long as they don't go bust, I suppose, and it goes straight the way through to December the 2nd, 2011, and you've got enormous amount of storage free of charge. Is that knocking some of the iCloud stuff into a cocked hat? Because that's a lot less, and your additional storage is quite expensive, isn't it? For
yeah, not really. There are a couple of caveats with the box thing. I saw that last night and signed up for it and had a play with it. And I've done a blog post about it this morning. But basically, yeah, you do get your 50 gig, but you're limited to a maximum file size of 100 meg, which is still that's still good. Yeah. But there's no syncing. Everything has to be manually uploaded and downloaded. So it's not like Dropbox, whereby you can have a folder on your Mac and throw things in, it'll be synced with your Box.net account. It's very much a manual process to upload stuff. But there's a really nice iPhone app. There's a good iPad app. I think it's really meant for its strength is in collaboration because you can share folders and files very, very easily. You can add comments to files as well, and be alerted when files are changed or when files have comments. So if you're working with a group of people and you want to share files around with them, it seems like a really good solution for doing that.
I mean, there's quite a lot happening at the moment that's very much focused on the transition to the new technology. So this box service is iOS 5 compatible. GTA 3 is coming to Android and iOS devices, but the iOS devices, it'll only run on iPad 2 and iPhone 4S, so you're not going to get it on iPhone 4. I mean, there's an enormous push again away from the technology. You know, when you went from iPad 1 to iPad 2, I certainly felt quite left out on some of the things that went with iPad 2 that I couldn't do with iPad 1. They're buggers, aren't they, for that kind of thing, making you buy stuff.
Well, there's one thing about iCloud, though, that hasn't happened yet, which is, I think, is going to make a huge difference, because they've now got the iCloud working between iOS devices, but the really big bit that's still missing is the Mac. You know, syncing documents with your Mac as well as your iOS device, and that's when it's really going to become a killer. Because at the moment, you know, it works great. If you create a document within iWorks on your iPad, it will magically appear on your iPhone, you know, really easily. That's great. That's seamless. But you still have to go through a process. And yes, they've simplified it a little bit, but you still have to go through a process of getting the damn file onto your Mac to work with it. And then once you're finished, you've then got to get it back into iCloud. So that whole bit, I think, is going to be tied into iWork, you know, when the new version of iWork comes out, and we'll have that missing link. And then the whole iCloud thing, I think, will change. People will suddenly then realize, well, hang on a minute, you know, this is great, because I can just create documents on any device, and they will just be propagated throughout all my little devices and across all my platforms. And I think that's then when it becomes the real killer, then, when people realize that you can actually do that with iCloud.
Mm. So hopeful for the future.
Yeah. Not too long, I don't think, either.
Jolly good. Note from, where's it gone? Note from Paul in the chat room saying that International Siri is due in 2012, so as a formal thing. No beta. That'd be good. Right. We are indebted entirely to UK2.net. They are the people that keep us afloat. We get all the bandwidth from them. They've given us unlimited bandwidth, which is really lucky based on the fact that we went to video last month, and we hammered it. We really did. We took the mickey immensely. They never said a word. The only emails we get off of them are the ones saying, we've got the competition, keep pushing the competition. And the other one is just saying, people are forgetting to use the offer codes still. So if you come to bageltechnews.com and you click on the UK2.net logo, when you go to your checkout, you get Bageltech. We'll get you 15% off. Don't forget to use it. And also, if you transfer a domain in, there's a DNS management charge which goes with UK2. Bageltech listeners don't have to pay that. So use the offer code BAGELDNS as well as, and you'll get 15% off, and the charge for DNS management will be removed instantly. Don't forget to do that, but please go to bageltechnews.com and then use the click-through, and then they know that we sent you, and all's fine and dandy. And also, up until the 27th of October, you've got the chance to win a Nintendo 3DS. So go to our site again. There's a banner on there for the competition, and you could win a Nintendo 3DS, a year's hosting, which is probably more valuable, I would have thought, and then an iTunes gift card at £25 is the third prize. So there's three prizes giveaway, and it's just for Bageltech listeners. You're not in the main draw that goes along for another Nintendo 3DS. That's a different competition. BagelTech listeners get it. So please, please, please go and enter those if you haven't already done so. Also, please vote for us at the European Podcast Awards. So if you go to our page, you'll see a banner. Please click on that. Register your vote for European Podcasting Awards. I think that finishes at the end of this month as well as. So please get all the votes in that you possibly can between now and the end. We need as many as we can possibly get. Have we got any cool thingies, Donny? Have you got one for us?
Yeah, I'm just laughing at Kyle.
What's he doing? Poking around the corner every week. Yeah.
Look, Mr. Innocent is though he's never done. Cool thingies. Okay, then. Right. This one's a bit. You don't get it straight away, this particular one. It's an application that's available in the Mac App Store. If you have a really favorite word processor that you like to use, like I use Byword all the time now, I'm sort of getting more and more into Markdown. I like editing in plain text. And I like to, you know, even if it's a short form piece or a long form piece, I like to edit in Byword, which I think I've mentioned before. But when you go to another application or something that needs text input, you know, you have to go to that other application. You could copy the text out and drop it into Byword and then do your editing and then copy it out and paste it back in again. But it's a bit of a pain. But there's an application called Quick Cursor. It's by Hogbase Software. It's £2.99. And basically what it does is it automates that copy and pasting for you, basically. So if you're in a text entry field, what you can do is just press a hotkey and it will take the contents of that text entry field, drop it into Byword, you do your editing, you exit from Byword and it drops it back into the text entry field that you were in. So if you really do like a particular editor and you want to have an automated way of doing this copy and paste, just use Write Room. Quick Cursor. He also does Write Room's the... that's the word processor that the guy who developed Quick Cursor is, but it's expandable and you can use it with BB Edit. You can use it with, as I said, I use it with Byword. There's quite a few different word processors that you can configure to use with Quick Cursor, but it's very smart. If it's something you don't need, or if you don't do a lot of editing, or you haven't got a favorite editor, then you probably don't want to consider it. But if you have got a favorite editor, it's a great tool to use that system wide.
It's not particularly cheap though, is it? It's is it £3.49?
No, £2.99.
Sorry, but it's well worth the money, says Don.
If you have that itch that you want to scratch, it's very well worth it.
The itch I'm on medication for. Kyle, we know yours already, so talk us through it.
Yeah, it's great. It's free. It's right up my alley. 50 gigabytes free. I think that's for. Just iOS only, though. From what I kind of remember, you know, Don might correct me on that, but. To me, you can't beat it. I mean, even if it does go under, just don't put the best photos up there. Just put the ones that, you know, people don't really know about, put them stick up there. You can only do that though from the iPhone. Just go try it out. I mean, you got nothing to lose really, except all your data.
Thanks, mate.
Sure.
Mike, you had 20 minutes notice to come on the show, so I do apologize. Have you got a cool thing for us, or is it going to be the iPhone 4S?
Well, no, I found some stuff on my desk. I'm a notebook fan, and recently I saw on Amazon two Star Wars Moleskine notebooks. They're special editions.
Who's at the door? Hang on a sec. Carry on.
It's not me.
It might be the UPS man.
It's UPS.
The Star Wars entry text, like the starting text on it, and the other is as if the Moleskine has gone into warp speed. So they're just kind of geeky notebooks that I enjoy. There you go. That is me. I don't know if you're still there, so I don't know if now I'm vamping to carry this on.
Yeah, you've got to for a bit.
Siri.
Yeah, let's go back to that, shall we?
Who's got a question for Siri?
Chris,
when's mine going to arrive? Just ask it, when is mine going to arrive?
Okay. When is Don's iPhone going to arrive?
I don't see any meetings about Don's iPhone going to arrive.
Oh, sorry, Don. It's not happening.
Yeah,
Siri has spoken. There is no iPhone for you.
Oh, there's another one. Siri, where has Ewan gone? Let me ask you which Ewan, but...
Where has Ewan gone?
It's all right. I'd like to say it was a UPS driver with my iPhone 4S, but it's not. It's a bloke who fixed me cricket pads.
Apparently, you can't find Ewan because it doesn't look in the United States.
Which I'm not there, so...
No. Right now, though.
Chris, did you have a cool thing or not?
I do have a cool thing. Can you see this?
No, but okay.
No,
it's newer something or other, newer technologies.
Yeah, it's a newer tech. little device here. But I just picked this up the other day, and my girlfriend had this really crappy old slap together PC that just stopped working one day, and it had like 40 gigabytes of iTunes on it. And I, so when her computer stopped working, I'm just like, well, I got this MacBook Air. Here's my old MacBook. Just use it, you know, until you want to get a new computer or whatever you want to do, go ahead and use it. But she's been using it now for months, so I don't think she's giving it up now. And she's been refusing to sync her iPhone and update it because she doesn't want to screw up her iTunes syncing. So I took the thing apart and used this little adapter. Basically just lets you plug in IDE or SATA drives raw, and then it has a little USB cord. So you don't have to like put it in an enclosure or mess with anything. I just snap the stuff together, and I copied all our iTunes off onto the MacBook, and now she can update to iOS 5 and we can iMessage each other.
Jolly good. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Price?
I think it's $29 US.
Oh, it's not bad then.
So it's from Otherworld Computing. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're actually based here near Chicago. But they make tons and tons of accessories for Macs, all kinds of drives and drive accessories and RAM and all kinds of upgrades and things. So they're really good people.
Very good. Very, very good. My pick is I've just bought last week Final Cut Pro X, and I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the best pieces of software going. It's very easy to use. It's so much more flexible than iMovie. To be honest, if there was a price comparison, which clearly there isn't, but in terms of functionality, if you were sitting numb in an hour and, well, should I spend the extra money and get Final Cut or should I just get iMovie? Don't even think about it. Just get, if money's no object, just get Final Cut. But my pick is actually to do with Final Cut, and it's a lad named Zach King, because I was struggling to get started with it, and I went and bought his motion stuff to get me started in motion. So I went back and I bought his videos for getting started in Final Cut, and he is brilliant. Zach King, Final Cut King, Final Cut Pro King. You'll get him on YouTube. He's got tons of stuff. He's got a great video that shows how to use muzzle flashes and things like that that's shot in a vineyard. And they're very, very hot, very good. And he's got a thing with like Star Wars or Harry Potter with some electronic stuff. And it's very, very good. Really good stuff. Got me started. And the thing is, as well, it's like kind of just gets you going. And then you can let your creative juices take over thereafter. But it's $40. So it's not the end of the world in terms of price. And it was well worth it.
When you left, did a different Ewan come back?
Why?
I just was very surprised that you like Final Cut. It just seems like something that you would be upset about.
Why? Why would I? No, I mean, I used it and it was great. I mean, I picked Motion the other week when I bought that, because I mean, that is just incredible as a piece of software. And I got to grips with it very, very quickly once I'd watched a couple of his tutorials, and it kind of, it just gave me kind of the lead, the prompt as to where to start. But I did the same thing with Final Cut, and I was really chuffed with it. The quality of the output's great. The ease of use is great.
Were you a Final Cut 7 user?
I was a Final Cut Express hater.
You see, maybe that's why it's good for you, because you're learning. So, like X is maybe more built for that.
Well, I used Final Cut Express, and it was the biggest piece of crap I've ever found in my life. It was really powerful, but as a user interface, it was a dog. Yeah. I mean, it was. I had Tom Lewis, who is. I mean, I don't know if Tom's still got a website going or anything, but this guy was an absolute god on Final Cut and Motion in the old sense, going back 2 years or so. And he tried to give me lessons to use it. And every week I'd go back, he'd be saying, no, that's what we did last week. Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah. There was nothing intuitive I found at all about Final Cut Express. So I gravitated to iMovie. And then when they went back to the kind of iMovie 6 type things in the last update, I found it a lot more usable. But I always got, there was little things with it that always really pissed me off, you know, like it would drag out the end of audio and clip it to the visual regardless and that kind of stuff. And I there was bits that always niggled me, and now I've gone to Final Cut Pro X Pro 10. I've found it very, very good, very easy to use, even easier than iMovie, and such a leap away from Final Cut Express. And the one thing that was making me hesitant about buying it was Final Cut Express, because I thought, I can't go back to that. You know, if I buy it and it's kind of like that as an interface, I'm not happy. But I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. I still hate Lion,
You know, I'm starting to love the kitty. You know, he's a big kitty, but I'm starting to like him. I've officially moved completely over. It's purring just fine right now. I haven't had any problems, so I'll stick it out. Launchpad still sucks, though.
I think that the problem I've got with Lion is that there's so much that doesn't work smoothly with it. And I know that's not Lion's fault, but there's a lot of things I use that just for some reason will not work with Lion particularly well. And there's too many things not working with Lion well to make me think that it's just the other third-party vendors. There's something going on with Lion that means that, you know, something just doesn't seem to work quite well, or it craps out when it shouldn't. I mean, you know, if you look at Wirecast is phenomenal. It was a great program, and Desktop Presenter is a very simplistic program, works like a dream in Snow Leopard, and is awful on the Lion machine. There's all kinds of rubbish going on with it. It's slow. I get lip sync problems. Eric Lanigan's always on that on the big show, and you can never see his lip sync properly. And I can either sit and carve it up or just leave it as it is. And the sad part is, you know, for quality reasons, I end up leaving it as is, and I shouldn't. I should, but I don't want to sit and do all the editing for that. I love Final Cut Pro 10, I know, but not that much editing. There we go.
We like Eric. We like Eric, but we don't love Eric.
No, Eric's fine. Eric doesn't care, I don't think so. Where can we get a hold of you, fellas? Don?
Yeah, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, or you can find my blog over at themaxscreencastguide.com, or on the Twitter as Don McAllister.
And if you are a fan of Mac, then you have to subscribe to Screencast Online, because it's the essential companion for Mac ownership. And if you go to our page, Don's giving you 50% off your first 3 months membership because you're a BagelTech listener. Just type in the upper code BagelTech. So cheers for that, mate.
Cool. No problem. Thank you.
And Kyle, where are you, dude?
KyleSwiger.com, Twitter at KyleSwiger.
Good man. Mike?
I'm on Twitter at iMike, I-M-Y-K-E, and you can find my newly launched podcast network at 70decibels.com.
Jolly good. Still no email here, though, dude, unfortunately.
I didn't send it.
Oh, okay, right. Or Siri didn't send it, more accurately.
Yeah, well, I didn't ask it to.
And Mr. Forsman?
Contact confusion.
You can read my columns regularly on Ars Technica at arstechnica.com, and I'm on Twitter at Forsmac, F-O-R-E-S-M-A-C.
Jolly good. I have no idea what the C was about. Yeah, absolutely.
Represent
MC Hammer, man. Can't touch Chris Fosman, man.
Hopefully, we're going to be more organized from now on as well, because Carl, one of the listeners, at Claw0101, has taken over organizing people for the show because I'm crap at it. And also, he's updating the Facebook page. So a very big thank you to Carl for taking that on, because I was looking at buying someone in, and he said he'll do it for free, which he's a really sweetie. I'll have to buy him a couple of beers, which I already did this week, but I'll buy him some more. There we go.
Did you know you were looking to pay someone before he offered to do it
for free? Yeah, we actually sat and talked about the fact, and I was going to talk about hiring a virtual assistant to do it, but he said, no, I'll do that, don't worry.
Siri will arrange that stuff for you.
Yeah.
as long as you haven't got me on the show. Yeah.
Which Ewan?
Please not that Ewan.
I rang a girl that I used to work
with. The doorbell's just gone.
Oh, we gotta hold on. I'll tell a story while you go and get the phone.
No, Barbara's there, so she's gonna.
Oh yeah, why do it yourself?
No, I'll go and check just in case. Hang on a minute.
No, I made a phone call last week to a girl that I used to work with 20 years ago, and said, "Oh, hi, it's Ewan." And she said, "Oh, great, that's nice to meet you. I'll talk to you again soon." And I got an email through for a quote for some photographic services. So I replied, and when I rang her up again, her PA said, no, Anne, which Ewan Rankin is that? I said, it's the Anne that used to work with her before. And she said, oh, right, okay, because she knows a guy who's a photographer called Ewan Rankin as well, so she knows two Ewan Rankins. No, she doesn't. Trust me. No, she doesn't.
We are one and the same.
Yeah, we're one and the same. And we're filling time because Don McAllister, hopefully, has a UPS man stood there with a signature waiting to give us an iPhone 4, and we're going to get an unboxing, a live unboxing. If you tuned in for photo, it's coming. Sorry, Alex, you're in the chat room, aren't you? I do apologise, mate. We'll do it in a second.
Oh, he's got it.
It's here. It's here. Right then, mate. Turn the camera down. Give us a close-up of the unboxing.
Are you going to do this?
Yeah, do an unboxing, mate. Go on. We'll finish off the show with an unboxing. It's perfect.
Well, there's a bit of a lag on the camera, so... You see there?
Yeah, we've got it fine. It's a little bit under your lower third at the minute, but there we go.
I like that Don has a unboxing knife at hand at all times.
I've never done one of these like this.
You don't have to do it fast. Take your time, mate. Don't cut your finger off, for God's sake.
Ta-da! Oh, wouldn't it be funny if it was something else from eBay or something?
It's the next month's supply of Viagra.
That's a big box. Oh, 1 month.
Oh, even sound effects as well.
Look at that.
There we go.
Oh, I'm almost tempted now. I'm almost tempted, but I've got to say, actually, I was very tempted until I heard Mike's demo.
Yeah. Well, of course, I won't be able to do a demo because it's going to take a little while to set it up, but we'll get it out of the box and we'll see what it's like. And then I went for the black one in the end.
There we go. That's perfect. We've seen a white one and now we're going to see a black one.
Okay. There we go.
Very good. It's upside down, dude.
It's upside down. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, mate.
There you go. You know what? It looks exactly the same as the iPhone 4.
Yeah, but I thought the cases didn't fit because the volume buttons have moved because of the antenna change.
Apparently, they have had to move the volume. In fact, my daughter's got the other phone now. But apparently, you mentioned the bumper before. They've had to move the buttons down, but they moved the buttons down with the Verizon phone a couple of months ago. So if you buy a new bumper or a bumper that you've bought in the last four or five months, they re-engineered them to fit the Verizon phone, so it will actually fit this one.
I've got a Gear 4 case. That I've had before, and the mute switch doesn't fit anymore. So yeah. The hole where the mute switch would be, it's kind of the mute switch is hidden away behind it, so you can't.
Now the big question, is, do they still give you headphones?
Of course.
Oh, that's good.
I've actually got a bumper.
Headphones and plug and all that malarkey in there.
Did you buy the bumper, Don, or is that free with
this? This is one that I bought a while ago. Yeah, it's the same as Mike's. It's the
it's not working. Yeah,
it's just slightly
out. Oh, of well.
Because I got a bumper today, so they must have updated them
they redid the bumpers from the Verizon phone. But
yeah,
we still get headphones. Let's have a look.
The hole is much larger. Yep. On
the usual so it
fits both
headphones.
There you go.
Adapter and a big power plug.
Does it just say iPhone at the back, or does it say iPhone 4S now at the back? Or
it
just
iPhone? Says iPhone.
Just says iPhone.
Yeah.
It's literally identical.
Yeah.
You lucky people. You got a Mac show. You got all the fun that went with it. You got Chris Forsman at his worst. And you got an iPhone delivered live on air to Don McAllister and Unboxed. What more could you ask for?
To say goodbye.
Get Siri to say goodbye.
Say goodbye, Siri.
Sorry, I don't understand. Say goodbye, Siri.
Oh, perfect.